As I said, we took a team over this summer, and I think through that and the connection with the Dirks and my daughter, I don't know, I feel like they're our missionaries, you know what I mean? So this morning, will you greet AJ and Chelsea Fry?
Good morning. Dios les bendiga. Okay, the appropriate response is a big, loud amen. Amen. Okay, I'm going to do it one more time. Together, ready? Dios les bendiga. Amen. And that means God bless you in the Dominican Republic. Actually, in Spanish, anywhere you speak Spanish. So good morning. We are excited to be here. I'm going to start not in my script, but I just want to tell you guys. So this is crazy. I'm preaching on faith this morning. I'm going to give you a spoiler alert. And God is orchestrating something big here. I was sitting next to Maya, my friend, and the songs that were prayed and the story that was told of God's bigness. Wow. God is big, right? And so I don't know what the Holy Spirit has for you, Fairlawn, but I hope you're paying attention this morning, because I don't know what's about to happen. This morning I want to start by telling you a story. I'm going to tell you quite a few stories this morning. But the first one, I looked up this morning, and Topeka has 127,000 people in the metropolitan area. It's a decent-sized city. Kansas City has 1 million. A little bit bigger, right? Santo Domingo has 4 million. That's where I live. And let's talk about this. Let's strategize. We want to plan a church in a 27-floor high-rise apartment building. How many of you have grown up in the country? I did. I had 2 stoplights in my hometown. All right, you people that raised your hand, have you lived in an apartment complex ever? I'm getting a lot of shaking of heads no. All right, I, as your sending boss, I'm going to put you in that apartment complex on the 13th floor. That's a pretty good spot. And I want you to start planting a church. You don't have a job. You don't have any means of income. But get busy. You ready? How about you people that live in Topeka? Does that sound good? No, that's crazy. I don't know about you, but I have a little bit of a southern draw still. And people would just make fun of me. If I went down to Kansas City, and I got my apartment. I was like, all right, I'm going to meet my neighbors. I knock on their door. Hi, I'm Chelsea Fry. Nice to meet you. I live in the apartment next door. You know what? I've done that before, actually. And you know what happened? I had a plate of cookies in my hand. They slammed the door in my face. Even with cookies. They were homemade cookies. What the heck? People. Come on. One guy said, I'm not a cookie person. Who are you? Get out of my apartment complex. It's hard. 4 million people. I'm going to tell you a story a little bit later about another city. But first, I told you I'm going to speak on faith this morning. And I'm going to give you a spoiler alert. This one's a planned spoiler alert. I'm going to ask you to step out in faith this morning. Nicole got up here and prayed and talked about how we love to reflect on God's faithfulness throughout our life. That is amazing, and that is what motivates me to get out of the bed in the morning. But I believe in a faith that is action. It's a verb. We have to move. And so I'm going to ask you to get out of your seats at some point this morning. I'm telling you now so that you can prepare later, all right? I'm telling you now so that you don't fall asleep and then when everybody around you stands up, you're like, oh, what's going on? You're warned. All right, I'm going to have Maya come up here and help me out. She's going to read for us Genesis 6 through 9. That's a lot of chapters. And I figured you didn't want to stay here past lunchtime today. So I was given a children's Bible when I decided to learn Spanish, and it's bilingual, so that I could at least tell the Bible stories in Spanish, right? That's pretty cool. And so I thought you guys might enjoy the pictures to go along with this story. And Maya's going to help us out. It's the story of Noah.
After Adam and Eve left the garden, many people were born. The people kept on doing bad things that forgot about God. Except Noah. Noah loved God. God said that everyone but Noah forgot about him. He told Noah about his plan to start over. Make yourself an ark. God said, here's how. So Noah and his family began working on the ark.
Skip the next slide.
When it was done, God said, take your family to of the animals into the ark. Animals, creepy, crawly, hopping, and growling into Noah's boat. After everyone was inside, the rain began to fall and fall and fall. The ark's rocks rocked this way and that way on the rising water. Finally, the rain stopped. Water covered everything. Everyone inside the ark was safe. Noah and his family were very happy. One day, Noah sent a dove to find land. It flew and flew, but never found anything. So it came back 1 week later. Noah sent the dove out again. This time, it brought him an olive leaf. Noah cheered. It must have found the land. The ark finally came to rest on the top of a mountain. God told Noah to leave the ark. Noah and his family praised God. God put a beautiful rainbow in the sky. It was a sign of his promise to never flood the world again.
Good job. Thank you very much, Maya. You want to go to sleep? You can go back. Just go out to the lobby. Thank you very much. And I just want you to know, she sat down beside me this morning. I told Pastor this morning, I need a kid. I need to borrow a child. And Maya showed up. She's awesome. And then I learned she's the child that talked about the bigness, right? So I told you guys at the very beginning, God's doing something, so pay attention. So Genesis 6 through 9. It's the story of Noah. We've probably heard it 1,000,000,000 times, right? But I'm going to set the scene a little bit more for you. I'm going to break it down. I've done a little bit of research because I knew this story was coming. And the people of Noah's time were 10 generations removed from Adam and Eve. With each generation, the people spiraled more and more and more out of control. The scripture says people were crying out to the Lord, and I researched what that means because these were unholy people. Why were they calling to the Lord? That means they were killing each other. It had gotten to the point where they were killing each other. That's pretty bad. And so it's chaos when Noah walks into the scene. In my brain, I need visuals. And so I picture this being a middle school dodgeball game. Has anybody participated in a middle school dodgeball game? Yeah, I have a permanent scar from one. They're crazy. The middle schoolers are crazy, just in general, and then give them a dodgeball and tell them to throw it at each other. You kidding me? And so Noah walks in the middle of this dodgeball game and says, "I don't know how to play dodgeball. I've never played this game before." The balls are already throwing. He's late. And so I picture him being this kid. Noah's mom, aka God, wrapped him up in bubble wrap that morning and said, "All right, son, try to not get hit in the face." I ran out of bubble wrap. But God didn't say, "Wrap yourself in bubble wrap and float through the flood." He said, "Build an ark." He prepared Noah, but he didn't tell him how to play the game. He just said, "Build this." You gotta think, like, this was the Middle East. There's no water. So you're building this giant boat in the middle of the desert. People definitely thought he was this kid walking into the dodgeball game. Crazy. And so Noah prepared the boat in faith. Right? He didn't know what was going to happen. He didn't know why he was building this boat. He had an idea, but what was a flood? He'd never seen one. So the next part of Noah's story that I want to talk about is in Genesis 14 through 16. And I'm going to read it. So if you'll go to the next slide. This is where God tells Noah how to build the ark. All right, it's the like IKEA instruction manual. "So make yourself an ark of cypress wood." And that's Spanish if you want to read along. "Make rooms in it and coat it with pitch inside and out. This is how you are to build it. The ark is to be 300 cubits long, 50 cubits wide, and 30 cubits high. Make a roof for it, leaving below the roof an opening 1 cubit high all around. Put a door in the side of the ark and make lower, middle, and upper decks." Are you ready to build? You set? So I'm a visual learner again. And so the ark was 1.5 football fields long. That's pretty long. I'm from the South. We talk in football. It was 2 school buses wide. That's a lot of little kids. And it was 4 stories tall. Pretty big boat. Not as big as some of our cruise ships. But in the midst of all of that, the instructions that God gave Noah, he forgot some stuff. Did you notice? It didn't say anything about closing the door. There's no fancy button to close the door. He forgot that. He also didn't say anything about how to drive this big thing. I didn't see in scripture anything about a navigational system. And so can you imagine with me, who's been on a cruise? They're pretty awesome. Can you imagine if you got on the cruise, you're getting all comfy, you've saved up for this, you got your bikini body? No, that's not a thing. We're Nazarenes. You've gotten ready for this. You've prepared. Get on the boat, get in your little suite, and you're going to go get you a fancy drink. And the captain comes on the loudspeaker and says, "Howdy, folks. How are you doing? We're so glad you're here with us today. We can't wait for you to have a great week. Have you checked out that slide, that water slide? It's brand new. Super awesome. We have tons of games planned for you. And just so you know, if you notice a little bit of water on the floor, no big deal. We don't know how to close the doors yet, but we're going to figure it out. But we'll just get going so we stay on schedule. About that schedule, by the way, we're not 100% sure where this cruise is taking us this week. We forgot to put the navigational system in, but it's no big deal. We're going to have a great time. We're so excited for you to be here. Sit back and relax. I'd be jumping ship because I think I would have a better chance with the sharks than I did with this guy. So, Noah got on this boat in faith, right? Can you imagine getting on a boat and not knowing where you're going or how to even close the doors or how you're going to live for the next who knows how long because you don't know how long you're going to be on this boat? That's a lot of faith. So after Noah got on the boat, he got off the boat after the flood. We're going to skip that part. And the whole family got off the boat. You can switch to the next slide. And rejoiced. They gave thanks to God. I'm imagining them singing praise songs like we sang this morning. Probably not in English. It's a good chance of that. And the scripture goes on to talk about they went back to their life. Noah planted a garden, and there's this whole thing about him being drunk, but that's not a big deal right now. But they had lived through this crazy boat story. It's like a big fish story. They had stepped out in faith. They had followed God's instructions, and they trusted him. They had confidence that he was going to provide. And you know what that did for them? It created this legacy. They went on, and the generations continued, and their kids had kids, and somebody else had kids, and Jesus was born. Noah is the direct lineage of Jesus. And so this legacy of faith was created by this man building a boat, getting on it, and then just living his life. That's pretty crazy. And at the end of the boat story, there's a rainbow. We talk a lot about the rainbow. I have a picture of it on my next slide. Beautiful. I get to see rainbows a lot. I live in the tropics. This rainbow, a lot of the times, gets equated with God's promise to never flood the earth again, which is fantastic for us, right? Like, I don't know about you. I swam in high school, but I don't think I can do it anymore. Treading water, not my gift. But this rainbow is so much more than not flooding. This rainbow signifies God's faithfulness in the story of Noah. God put this rainbow to say, Noah, do you see what I can do? Do you see what I have done? And every time you see this, remember me. Remember my faithfulness. Remember how much I have cared for you and loved for you and prepared you before you even knew it. And so just to recap what we've talked about this morning, I might be going out of order here, sorry. Noah built a boat in faith, right? And then he got on the boat in faith. And because of all of that, he created this legacy of faith. All right, that's great for Noah. But what does that mean for us? How does that affect me in my context? I'm a real practical learner. And so I want to tell you a story about four girls. These are beautiful women who are serving for the next 2 years in Querétaro, Mexico. Remember that city that I told you about at the beginning that I'm going to send all of you to go plant a church on the 13th floor? That's their job in real life. And I can tell you that the two in the middle, they're from the mountaintops of Guatemala. Do you think they've ever lived in an apartment before? The one on the far that direction, I'm really terrible with directions. Her name is Maritza. She's from Miami. She's 43 years old and is going out with these 20-somethings to plant a church. So God has already been really faithful in their story, but in the context of our city analogy, they are planting a church in a city of 800,000 people, basically eight times as big as Topeka, right? There's one evangelical church there. One. Whew. So not only do they not know how to minister in the city, nobody else does. There's nobody to call on and say, hey, this happened, what do I do? When they got to the city, they started talking about what are we doing? How do we minister to these people? What are the needs? Blah, blah, blah. And they realized that it was a very educated city, high education level. There are two universities in this city. And so most of the professionals are lawyers, judges, doctors, high paid professionals, people that can buy Jesus, right? They don't have needs necessarily. And they decided, well, they're four ladies. Let's focus on some ladies at first to get our feet wet. So they've been there since May. In June, they decided to have a retiro, which is a retreat. And they were just going to focus on self-care, helping these women see themselves as valuable and image bearers of God. And so they talked, it was a two-day retreat, they stayed overnight. They talked to these ladies about how they could see God at work in their lives. These women had never heard a message like that. They thought God was somebody that you went and visited on Sunday morning. Or it was someone that their abuelo, their grandmother, or grandfather told them about. And so they had this weekend retreat. And 27 ladies came to Christ. One weekend. This is why we have to go into the city. We talk so much in the church about the harvest is ripe, but we don't have enough workers. And it is 100% true. That is scripture and truth all the way around. So what are we doing about it? How are we stepping out and saying, I'm ready to work the field? So I told you at the beginning that I was going to give you a spoiler alert. Wake up. It's time. We have cards up here on the altars. I don't know if you can see it. They say pray, give, and go. Okay? So what does that mean for you guys? Let me explain. I told you at the beginning that I believe in a faith that is a verb and calls us to action. Do you agree? I don't remember any stories of Jesus just hanging out. Well, maybe, but he moved a lot. And scripture also tells us faith without deeds is dead. Do you want to live with dead faith? I most definitely do not. That's the thing that we have that non-Christians don't know they want. is our ability to trust in the Lord, the one true God. And so this morning, I have three things. I'm going to go back to pray. We can be a people of prayer. This is the easiest thing I'm going to ask you to do. Maybe your relationship with the Lord is rocky and you don't know how to pray. Let's start with scripture. Start reading. Start digging in. Figure it out. Talk to somebody. My favorite thing to tell teenagers and young people, get a mentor. And if you are solid in your faith, why are you not mentoring someone? Pray about that. Pray for your church. I sat in breakfast this morning with some teens and young adults. They need you. Pray for them. These cards on the back side of them also have ways that you can pray for our ministry. This ministry where we're training missionaries to go into those cities so that they don't walk in as a country bumpkin, me, and say, oh yeah, I can just bring some cookies to the door. They need to be trained in strategic ways that we can reach the city. And so that's our job. We're building this center that they can come. You saw that video of our friends, Scott and Emily Armstrong. Pray for that. Pray for your local community. The next card was the give card. And I was telling Nicole this morning, part of our testimony is we just had to lay finances at the feet of the Lord and say, we don't know what we're doing. We got college debt. We're young. I took one Dave Ramsey class and now I'm an expert. But God has been so faithful through our finances. Scripture tells us that where our treasure lies, there too our heart lies. And as much as we don't want to talk about money, we got to talk about money. And so these cards on the back side of them talk about investing in your local church. We participate in a giving program called World Evangelism Fund. The Nazarene Church is one of three global denominations. That means you can go to Africa and you will get doctrine that looks like it does right here in Topeka. That means you can participate in a Sunday morning giving service here and trust that your money is getting sent to Costa Rica to pastors' kids who have a parasite and can't live any longer. We met that little girl. She's healthy now. And so you participate in that. It's not this thing that you're mandated to give to. It's not gross. It's not whatever this feeling is. I don't know how to describe what I just did. But it's this global partnership that says, my dollar can do a lot. It can do a lot. We just had an earthquake in Haiti last night. They've already reported a bunch of deaths. I think over 600. That's my island. And I know for a fact Nazarene missions are already there. Nazarene disaster response is already there. Because I know those missionaries and I know they're there. But they can't do it without money, right? And so these give cards talk about how to give. But not only to that, but also to this idea of training missionaries to send disciple makers into the cities. We want people to partner with us in giving. Our building's not cheap. This program's not cheap. But God has called us to do it, right? So we are obedient. We step out in faith that he will provide the finances. And the last card is go. You guys have a unique opportunity. You're already signed up for a trip in May. to come and see this giant building we keep talking about, this training program that we keep talking about. And I will guarantee you, if you come on this trip, it will not just be construction. It will be learning, what is a city? How do you minister into that? How do you talk to people? How do you love one another as Christ has loved us? Those are the things we talk about. It also talks about going into your local community. I pray, I don't know all of you, unfortunately, one day maybe. I pray that you're plugged in locally. I pray that you are creating this legacy of faith. I heard that you guys are having a 75th anniversary. Congratulations. It's exciting. Can you say with confidence that you've spent 75 years building a legacy of faith? Can you say that all 75 years are dedicated to teaching your young people to step out when things don't make sense? If they're not, if they are, irrelevant at this point. Make a commitment to make the next 75 be that legacy of faith. Let the next 75 years be, when I walk into Topeka, I know what Fairlawn does. They step out in faith and God provides. They've done this and this, not event-based, but faith-based, right? How cool would it be if we came back in 2 years and you could name all these things that at the beginning, I don't know how we're gonna do this, but God has been faithful through and through and through. And so we're gonna have a song that we're gonna play. This is gonna be chaotic. Remember, I've told you, spoiler alert, third time, you're ready. We have these cards up here on the altars. I would challenge you to at least take one. Remember, I said pray. Put these cards somewhere where that you will see them, that they will remind you of God's faithfulness and your commitment to step out in faith. Because if we don't want to be people that only look at faithfulness in the past, we have to do something. And so we're gonna play this song, and I want you to get up and grab a card. And then I want you to have a seat back at your seat, or a neighbor's seat, I don't care. Just sit back down. But be bold. Don't be afraid. It's gonna be weird. It's gonna be chaotic. Maybe you don't know the people in this place. Maybe it's your first time here. Sorry. But God is calling us to something, people. Are we willing to step out? Are we willing to do it? I hope so. We'll see. So we'll play a song. Then when you return to your seats, we'll finish up.
Tus hijos somos tu creación. I don't know if you've paid attention this morning. I was doing something over here. And we have this painting that we're going to leave with you guys. And we hope that you put it somewhere where you can see it regularly. And there's a couple pieces to this. Can you see the city? Can you see your city? We're going to challenge you to look at your city in a new way. How can you reach your city? How can you reach Topeka? Can you see the rainbow? Again, it's a rainbow reminding us of God's faithfulness. If you are faithful, God will be faithful to you and help you reach the city. Faith in big, huge letters up at the top to remind you to step out in faith. Remember these cards that you took. Put those somewhere in your home where you can see them, in your Bible where you see them often. Pray, give, go in faith. And at the bottom we wrote, pray, give, go. To remind you, what you heard today, what you experienced today, carry that with you. Carry those cards with you. Carry faith with you. Step out, be bold. God did not call us to a Christianity that just sits here once a week, but to move, to get up, to do something. Faith is action. You have faith that's good, but where's the action that proves that you have faith? I'm going to pray. God, we thank you so much for today. We thank you so much for moving. Thank you so much for being faithful, for using us. I pray that you would use Topeka Fairlawn for the city of Topeka. I pray that you would move in them, that you would inspire them to move to the city, to their neighbors, maybe across the country, maybe to other countries. God, I pray that you would use their finances for your kingdom. I pray that you'd help them to step out in faith and in boldness with their finances, to sacrifice for your kingdom. And I pray that you would hear their prayers, that you would lift them up, and that you would use them. We love you, God. You are awesome. You are amazing. We thank you for being faithful to us. In your name I pray. Amen.